President Biden acknowledged this week that he has not had the FDR-style first year in office that he had hoped for. This morning, he began his second year in office by joining the head of Intel, Pat Gelsinger, in announcing a new semiconductor facility in Ohio, which will work to help end those pandemic-related computer chip supply chain disruptions.
A brand new $20 billion campus outside of Columbus, Ohio. 7,000 construction jobs. 3,000 full-time jobs. And I was kidding Pat earlier. I said, I may need a job. And he said, well, it's not bad. You start over $100,000 on the lineup, but I got to get some training. But look.
Okay, Tanya, our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us now. Francesca Chambers is White House correspondent for McClatchy. Hi, Francesca.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. And Jesse Holland is host of C-SPAN's Washington Journal. Jesse, happy Friday.
Same to you.
Okay, Francesca, Biden aides at the White House are now talking about a strategy shift for the year ahead. What kinds of shifts might we see?
Well, the White House now says that President Biden will rely more heavily on his legislative affairs team to make those negotiations with lawmakers on Build Back Better and other parts of his social spending and climate agenda. And part of the reason for that is to get President Biden himself out in communities more often, talking to the voters. That's a reflection of his polling, where he now has a roughly 42% approval rating. And the White House believes that if they can get the president back in front of those folks and doing what they say he does best, which is shaking hands and meeting voters, that they can draw a contrast between Republicans and Democratic policies.
Well, President Biden, in his news conference this week, he spoke to that point. He blamed some of his low poll numbers on how Americans are perceiving him. Let's listen.
The public doesn't want me to be the president's senator. They want me to be the president and let senators be senators.
So, Jesse, if we see more Biden kind of outside the beltway, is it going to be easy to change his image at this point, or is it too late?
Well, President Biden is looking forward to the first real poll on his presidency, and that will be the midterm elections. So he has to get out and reverse this, the impression that Americans have of him. Republicans have been beating on him as being old. Republicans have been beating on him as being left-wing and not being able to get anything done and not being in charge of his own presidency. Biden needs to get out of the White House and become the chief executive of this country, not the 101st senator arguing back and forth with Mitch McConnell about what can be done and what can't be done. This is why I think you'll also see Biden start moving toward a lot more executive actions, doing his agenda through his own powers instead of trying to depend on Congress to do what he wants them to do.
Oh, Francesca, I want to bring you in here. This idea that he should take executive action. We often hear in Washington that a president has one big year to get things done because the second year is when we're dealing with the midterms. And then after that, the party and the White House almost always loses seats in Congress. With that, is Joe Biden's legislative agenda done? Is that a question to weigh in this moment?
Well, the president and Democrats say that they're going to try and break up his agenda and pass it in what he described as chunks. Now, they haven't laid out exactly how they would plan to do that. And you touch on an important point. How much truly could they get done, even with the support of Senators Manchin and Sinema, for that in an election year? They counted on the fact that they had bipartisan support in order to get infrastructural legislation done last year. But again, in an election year with so much on the line, how much Republican support could they get? Even President Biden suggested during his news conference that he didn't think that they would be able to get much, saying that he did not anticipate how much the Republican agenda would be just being against his agenda.
Well, Jesse, what about voting rights? This week, the Democrats' bill to counter restrictive state laws failed in Congress, that despite impassioned pleas from Democrats like Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock, who pushed back on Republicans' claims that voting is an issue states should control.
Please know that as the pastor of Dr. King's church, this argument evokes, I say really respectfully, it evokes some of the darkest moments in our country's long struggle for equality.
Jesse, do you think we'll see any more efforts on election rules changes at the national level?
We'll see the efforts, but the reality is 48 Democrats are not going to be able to get anything done in the Senate. They're facing the fact that they don't have the 50 votes and 51, of course, with the vice president. And they're facing the fact that in reality, the legislative calendar ends at summer recess. Because after the lawmakers come back after summer recess, they'll be continuing to look at midterm elections. So that we only have a shortened legislative calendar left, and Democrats only have 50 votes in the Senate, and they only have 48 they can count on. So the idea that Democrats are going to be able to push through anything that they can't get Republicans to agree to is probably little to none at this point.
Jesse, the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell raised a bunch of eyebrows when he was asked about concerns about access to voting among voters of color. This is what he said.
Well, the concern is misplaced because if you look at the statistics, African-American voters are voting in just as high a percentage as Americans.
Of course, African-American voters are Americans. That clip has been viewed more than 4 million times in social media. Jesse, how did that comment land?
Well, I guarantee you, I believe that Senator McConnell wishes he could take those words back, or if he could add other words to make sure people knew that he included African-Americans as Americans. But it's one of those comments that for many minority voters confirm what they already think about the Republican Party, that the Republican Party is focused on white American voters and don't really care about anyone else. Now, there are plenty of Republicans who will disagree with that and say this was just a slip of the tongue, but it falls into that stereotype many minorities have about Republicans, in that Republicans don't care about minority voters. And when it comes from the top, a top guy like Mitch McConnell, is going to be heard over and over again from now until the next election day.
Francesca, let's talk about Joe Biden's likely rival in 2024, Donald Trump. How was his week as far as investigations in Washington and in the state of New York?
Well, for the former president, those investigations, as you mentioned, continue, and it continues to put January 6th and the part that his White House did or didn't play in January 6th and what happened at the Capitol in terms of whether or not they were quick enough to call on the violence to stop and the role that they played in the lead up to that rally. All of that continues to be at the forefront as Congress continues to investigate what happened that day. And then the Supreme Court also delivered a blow as it goes to the former president, because he wanted to block White House records from the House committee that's investigating the January 6th attack, and he was unable to do so. So this could also set a precedent for future presidents as well when it comes to other issues in terms of how broad executive privilege actually is and what it can actually cover.
Francesca, I have to ask you about Rudy Giuliani. The news this week that the Trump lawyer was directly involved in putting together an alternate slate of electors to certify the 2020 election for Trump. At this point, is relitigating 2020 doing more to help or harm the Republicans, do you think?
Well, even Republicans would say that they do not think that the baseless election stolen claims are helpful to them. And when you look at states like Georgia, where that arguably, and they would say even in their view, cost them the election, they're not eager, many Republicans that is, to revisit some of those election claims. If you even look at the Virginia gubernatorial election that took place a few months ago, and Glenn Youngkin, he also distanced himself in ways from the former president, did not appear with him while campaigning. And so one of the things that we'll all be watching this year is how closely Republicans run with the former president, even those who have been endorsed by him, when you consider that he could come to their state and repeat some of those things. And everyone saw what happened in the Georgia runoff elections.
Jesse, I'm curious your thoughts on relitigating 2020. Will that do more to harm or help the Republicans from your view?
Well, the Republican Party will tell you that they don't want to do it, but Donald Trump certainly does. He has grabbed onto the 2020 election as an issue that he thinks will bring his voters, whether they're Republicans or not, they'll bring his voters out to either A, give him money, B, show up at a rally, or C, vote for the people he tells him to. So I think we'll hear more and more from it from Donald Trump, because that's the one thing that he thinks will bring his voters out. Now, will those voters end up voting for the rest of the Republican slate? We don't know. But he will keep pushing on that because he's someone has told him and he's thought that that's a winner for him. So he'll keep pushing on it. Whether it will help everyone else in the GOP, we'll have to wait and find out.
Jesse Holland is a host on C-SPAN's Washington Journal, and Francesca Chambers is White House correspondent from McClatchy. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks.